Hello, everyone. Sejal Patel here. Thanks for joining Strictly Money Weekly Insights, your go-to source for navigating your most important financial decisions. Hi, everyone. I'm Sejal Patel. It's Friday, and you know what that means. I have a new Strictly Money Weekly Insights, and I think you will love this one. If you are a parent and finding yourself struggling with how to talk to your kids about money, then you will not want to miss what I have to say. So many parents I speak to want to know how to teach their kids financial literacy. They're not sure what's okay or not okay to discuss. And the biggest issue, they don't have enough financial knowledge themselves to teach their kids with confidence. So today, I'm going to share my perspective and a few tips that I hope will give you comfort and motivate you to have money conversations with your children. Every parent I know wants to set their kids up for success. Every parent I speak to is worried about what the financial future holds for their children, and they're not sure how to equip them. So many parents I have spoken to say they wished their parents had talked more openly about money and that they don't want to make the same mistakes. So today, I'm going to share some research and perspectives that may surprise you. Because here's what I do want you to understand. Your kids are thinking about money. They are curious about it. They are wanting to come to you and ask you questions, but they're not sure if it's a taboo topic in your home. And if they don't feel comfortable discussing it and learning money values from you, they're going to go somewhere else. And the information that they get might not be accurate or given with the best intentions. And I'll tell you what else. You play the most important role in ensuring your children develop a healthy relationship with money more than anyone else. And you'll understand why by the end of this podcast. I didn't grow up in a conventional home because my parents talked about money all the time. I remember being 7 years old and my parents showing me their pay stub. I knew what they made and I had a pretty vague idea of how they made financial decisions. I knew they were investing for the future, even though I didn't fully understand the concept of investing. My mother was the saver and she was the planner. She'd put away money for that rainy day and for my brother and my education and especially retirement. My dad, well, he was a bit more live in the moment, splurge type of guy. He delegated most of the financial responsibility to my mom, but at the same time, he wanted financial control. But both my parents believed in paying financial empowerment forward. They gave generously to their family so they could stand on their own feet and get ahead. They never begrudged others for their wealth. They instilled in us the importance of saving and sharing, not just spending. And I think most importantly, they taught us to invest in ourselves. They would tell us our brain and work ethic was going to be our best financial resource. In fact, I remember my dad telling me when I was 12 years old, he'd say, Sejal, you're brown and you're a girl. And honey, life is not going to be fair to you. You'll have to outsmart and outwork a lot of people to get ahead. So don't take money for granted. It wasn't until I was in my late 20s that I would actually understand the profound impact my parents would have on my own view of money. And I'd say that I inherited probably both of their habits and attitudes. You know, I've always been a saver. I've always lived beneath my means. I started investing at 16, and I still regularly put away money for my RSP and my TFSA. I say I tend to spend more spontaneously, probably not as much now as I did in the past. And I think I thought that way, or I did what I did, in part because I always believed in my ability to make money. Reflecting back, though, I think I was probably more an emotional spender than I perhaps wanted to be. I hate debt. The idea of owing anyone money bothers me. I think because my parents hated debt. And also because they taught me to be financially independent. And so I always feel like I shouldn't depend on anyone for my lifestyle. I'm definitely more risk averse than the average person, or I guess I like to say I'm a bit more risk aware. I definitely think about things that can go wrong. And so risk management is always part of my strategy. And I tend to be a planner. It's taking me another 20 years in creating a financial education business and a lot of reflection to really understand why I do what I do and not do with money. So why am I telling you this? It's because just as my parents played a role in informing my money personality, your parents played a role in how you see and manage money, and now you are playing a role in how your kids are seeing and will manage money. When I ask parents if they'd like to see financial education in schools, every one of them says, "Of course I do." In fact, mothers in my financial online program always tell me they can't believe what they are learning isn't taught in schools. So what I'm about to share with you will probably surprise you. Research done in the US has shown that in spite of state mandates, which require students to take financial literacy courses in high schools, they actually have little effect on financial literacy outcomes. Now, this study was done in 2018, so some things may have changed reflecting the research, but it's a bit shocking, right? Well, not really. Not if you understand human behavior. Here's what I want you to know. While education is very important, it's not enough. Financial success has a lot more to do with our attitudes about money, which then affects our behaviors and habits. And guess where your young children and teenagers are picking that up from? You guessed it. You. They are watching what you do and don't do with money. What you say and don't say about managing money. What you think about people who have or don't have money. And how you and your partner address financial conflicts. In fact, another study showed that children who remember their parents arguing frequently about money are more likely to accumulate credit card debt later in life. But that debt does go down through increased communication with mothers, and they'll experience greater financial independence if they feel closer to their fathers. Wow, right? Think about this analogy. Imagine that schools teach healthy eating habits, but when the kids go home, their parents are feeding them pizza and hamburgers and fried food on a regular basis. How likely is it that what makes logical sense, which is to eat a balanced diet, will actually stick? You get my point. And the same thing applies to money. Now, I'm not at all against pushing for school curriculums that teach financial literacy. In fact, I'm a fierce advocate of it, and having this very conversation with the Ontario government, who, by the way, has been incredibly receptive, because education does matter. But in order to be really successful, I do know that their best programs will need to engage parents. Because when parents talk more openly about money and their experiences with finances and include their children in making basic and relevant financial decisions, their children's knowledge and attitude towards money will be positive. Which brings me to this part. I want to share three tips that you as a parent can start today that I know will make a profound impact on your children's financial well-being. Tip number one, learn about money together. No one said that you had to have all the answers. In fact, how would you have financial literacy skills if it wasn't taught to you? Which, by the way, is about 90% of the population. So you're not alone. But if you want your children to learn how money really works and how to manage it well, wouldn't it make sense that you learn too? My point is, even though it's not your fault, it is your problem. And it will be your children's problem if you don't break the cycle. So here's an idea. Why not set up monthly family meetings? Pick a topic that you want to learn about. Maybe it's about credit cards or different bank accounts or budgeting. Pick something that everyone can understand. And then have everyone, including you, bring one question about that topic. Then together, do some research, have a discussion. You don't have to learn everything, but you want to keep the tone constructive. Google is your friend, and I promise you there are tons of credible financial websites that will teach you what you want to know. Investopedia is a great start, MoneySense, there's government sites, and of course you can always come to mine, sagel.com. When you do this, it will show your children that it is okay to talk about money and it's okay not to know everything, but that everything is, as Coach Marie Forleo says, everything is figure outable. It will instill a sense of curiosity in your kids and empower them to learn. I think those are amazing outcomes, don't you? Tip number two, lead by example. You know this by now. You know that your children are looking at you and mimicking your behaviors and attitudes towards money. So if you want your kids to develop healthy habits in a world that's increasingly becoming more complex and harder to build wealth, it has to start with you. And that means you need to demonstrate responsible money management practices like budgeting and saving and planning for future life goals. It will mean explaining to your kids why you make certain trade-offs. It will mean you showing them that not everything is about instant gratification and that delayed gratification does pay off. That one lesson alone is going to be so important because we, especially kids, are being bombarded right now with social media advertising and consumerism. Maybe you show them the number of hours it takes you to work to buy something and how paying taxes reduces your take-home pay. Those are just a few ideas. But by helping them develop critical thinking skills, by teaching them how to differentiate between needs and wants, and to consider the long-term consequences of their financial decisions, you will set them up for success. I promise you. And tip number three, let them manage some money. And more importantly, let them make mistakes. Maybe you give them an allowance or you have a teenager who has a part-time job. Teach them the importance of saving and spending and perhaps sharing. But know this, they are emotional just like us. They will not always follow through with what they intended to do. Let them. Better they screw up now with a little bit of money and while you're there to guide them than when they flee the nest and are on their own. What's more important is that you discuss how they're making their choices. Be curious and ask open-ended questions. Don't scold them when they screw up or if you don't agree with their choices. If there's anything life has taught us at all, it's that we all screw up. We all like to live spontaneously sometimes, that everything is a work in progress and lessons are learned after the fact. Let me leave you with this thought. So many parents I come across think their kids won't be able to understand money concepts. They are sheltering their children from hard and important life lessons as a result. Because needing money is just one of those universal things. But managing it well, it's not so universal. Your kids are smarter than you may believe. They are incredibly intuitive. Give them the benefit of the doubt. They are going to thank you and love you for giving them this life essential wisdom. I hope you enjoyed this week's insights. Now, don't forget to subscribe so you don't miss my interviews with some of the brightest financial minds to help you navigate your most important financial decisions. And don't forget to share this and help me make financial wellness go viral. Thank you. Stay well, stay wise, and stay wealthy. I'll see you soon.